proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another session about Jewish life and practice. According to Jewish custom, Judaism rests upon three foundations or pillars: prayer, known as tefillah; repentance, known as teshuva; and charity, known as tzedakah. This session constitutes the first of a two-part series about the concept of repentance. The Hebrew noun teshuva derives from the verb shuv, meaning to return. Returning anything involves restoring it to its original owner. When God established the regulations relating to the Jubilee year, according to Leviticus 25, he told Moses, quote, "Ye shall return, shuv. Ye shall return every man unto his possession," unquote. Teshuva could allude to repentance for sins committed against God and or sins committed against another individual. In this session, we will focus upon transgressions against God. The next session, we will look at the role of repentance when a person sins against another individual. In modern Hebrew, the term teshuva denotes the response to a question. Theologically speaking, God might initiate a conversation with a transgressor by asking him, "Do you want to restore your fellowship with me?" Unquote. Teshuva, by that sinner, provides an affirmative answer to that inquiry. Jewish thought perceives repentance as more than just a once-for-all decision made by a person to turn away from sin. Rather, that term denoted a process involving self-evaluation and resulting in self-improvement. Jeremiah addressed the steps related in such an undertaking. He wrote in the third chapter of Lamentations, quote, "Let us search and try our ways, and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens," unquote. Maimonides listed several main steps required for a sinning Jew who wished to return unto God. Compare his analysis with the path followed by King David when he repented of his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba. First, Maimonides wrote, a penitent sinner needed to acknowledge his sin and cease engaging in it. Afterward, he had to confess his sin openly, an action that concretely labeled the nature of his transgression. How did that work in the case of David? Once Nathan the prophet confronted that monarch, as recorded in 2 Samuel 12, David publicly confessed that he had sinned against God. He later added in the 32nd Psalm, quote, "I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord," unquote. Maimonides continued by remarking that a repentant sinner needed to express regret for his misdeed. Regret differs from remorse. Remorse can come when a person has been caught in his transgression and is ashamed of what he has done because others now know about it. Regret, on the other hand, entailed considering the negative impact which a sin might have upon the sinner himself, and the negative impact upon others. Finally, Maimonides wrote, a transgressor should resolve never again to repeat his wicked deed. David affirmed his remorse for sin when, in Psalm chapter 51, he exclaimed, quote, "I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me," unquote. The Bible never recorded another incident in which David committed adultery with another man's wife. These are steps of repentance that a Jew would take when he sinned against God. What happens when a Jew has sinned against his fellow man? We will consider that in our next session. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another lesson relating to Jewish life and practice.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.